अद्वैतम सावधूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सह गण ललिता श्री विशाखान्विताश्च नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे आत्मजाय सुतागार पशुद्रविणमन्दुषु राज्ये च विकले नित्यं विरूढां ममतां जहो Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. So this is a very famous verse, which was often quoted by Prabhupada. Atmajaya Asutagara. Prabhupada used to quote this. Pashu Dravida Bandushu. So Maharaj Parikshit, although he was the king of the whole world, naturally, king of the world has everything at his disposal and everyone at his beck and call. And nothing is denied to him. In fact, the best of the things are offered to him, always, by his own citizens. So, for someone to give up some petty things of the world, which he may possess in paltry amounts, is not a very big deal. But for someone in the level of Maharaj Parikshit, being a king of the whole world, to give up these things, it's considered the most difficult, as it is said, Rajya cha avikale nityam. Without any disturbance, he gave them up. Virudham mamatam. So, virudham means deep rooted. Srila Prabhupada explains in many of his purports how it becomes deep rooted. Like Maya, she attracts and captivates the living entities. Her first principle is attraction. And then she captivates. Just like the spider which makes a beautiful web. The web is not so attractive to us if we see it. But if a fly sees that web, it looks very attractive. The fly thinks, oh, this web seems to be made of some silk, and it looks like a very comfortable bed. So if I go and relax there for some time, I have been fluttering my wings for such a long time. So he goes and places himself on the web, and immediately he gets trapped. And then the more he flutters his wings, he gets wound, 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 it becomes like a white ball. suitable for the spider to swallow him very easily. In the same manner, in this world, the attractions offered for every living being are unique to them. Just like a dog is attracted to a she-dog and a man is attracted to a woman. Just like a honeybee sometimes finds a flower very beautiful, immediately it is captivated. So the whole material world is based on the attraction principle. Attraction principle. That is why Maya attracts and then captivates. So those people who stop at the point of attraction and don't proceed further, they go to the renounced order. They don't proceed further beyond that. But if somebody is going to succumb to the attraction, then they have to take up the encumbrances of the material world. So, and then what is the result, as Prabhupada explains here, when a man and woman are attracted, the result is children. And when children come, naturally sustenance and protection has to be arranged. So then one has to arrange a house and household paraphernalia and everything. So the attachments multiply as one enters into material life. When one is a child, one has mother and father. When one is married, there is a third attachment. When children come, there is fourth. And then when house and paraphernalia come, then there is fifth, sixth, and it goes on like that. So, what is the purpose of renunciation like this, as Maharaj Parikshit is doing? That is very important to know. There is a verse by Chanakya in which he says, Mata yasya grihe nasti, bharya cha apriyavadini, aranyam tena gantavyam, yata aranyam yata griham, he says. He is saying, if in a house the mother is unchaste and she is going from one house to another house and not staying in her own house, if one's mother is unchaste like this, and if one's wife always speaks bitter words, sharp cutting words, he says, such a person should quit the home and go to forest, he says. Aranyam tena gantavyam. Because yatagriham yataranyam. When that house itself becomes like a forest only. It's useless to stay there. So, this verse gives a clue that when the household situation is unfavorable for someone, then one should quit home. For the same reason, Swarup Damodar, he quit home and he took sannyas. And for the same reason, Srivas Thakur didn't quit home. He stayed at home. If you see Srivas Thakur's wife, Malini, she was a pure devotee. Also, and in fact, she was a very great devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they both loved Srivas Thakur and his wife, just like intimately like parents. So they were like, Gaurinathai were like their children at their house. And the same house became a rasasthali also for Lord Chaitanya to perform his nocturnal kirtans. Whole night kirtans he would do with all his devotees. So that's called Shiva Sangan. So in the Shiva Sangan, every day it was a place of kirtan. And Shivas also participated in the kirtan, and he developed such a firm faith in the holy name that he did not depend on anyone or anything in this world other than taking shelter of the holy name. And such a chanting of the holy name offered him all protection and nourishment in life. So, why should he leave such a home and take sannyas? There is no need if one's home is like that. You will find in many of Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada saying, sometimes a grihastha man will ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada would ask him, why do you want to take sannyas? There is no need. In fact, Prabhupada would say, you are doing the work of a sannyasi already. You are doing a first class. You have a center at home and you are preaching, and so many hundreds of people are becoming Krishna conscious. So you and your wife, you are like good partners, and you propagate Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada would say like that. And if for someone the household situation is not favorable, as it was in the case of Prabhupada himself, then one should not stay at home. One should take sannyas at appropriate time and then take shelter of Krishna. Like you find Vidura, for example, In Vidura's case, Dhritarashtra asked Vidura for some good counsel. And Vidura told him, you're asking me what to do with the Pandavas? The 12 years are over now. Now we should hand over the kingdom to the Pandavas. That is your appropriate course of action. And do not pay any heed to the words of this sinful wretch Duryodhana. I already told you, don't maintain this offense personified in the palace, even when he was born. Now if you are going to hear his advice, then you will be ruined. And this Vidura told in front of Duryodhana, you can imagine how truthful he was, without any fear. And when Duryodhana saw, he got so wild. He said, you know, why do we maintain this disloyal, sinful wretch? He asked about, he told about Vidura, in our palace. He always spies us and he is more affectionate to the Pandavas. And he tries to always support the Pandavas and treat us in an ill-mannered way. And he said, throw him out of the palace only with his breath and nothing else, he said. So, you can imagine, Vidura is such a learned and wise person who is sought after by even Dhritarashtra for all good counsel. He is respectable in the court, almost like Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama and Vidura and Dronacharya, these are all Kuru elders, most respectable. And here is Duryodhana chastising him and calling him, why did you entertain the son of a kept mistress? Dasiputra, he was telling. So these words were certainly very painful and scorching to the ears of Vidura. But when Vidura heard it, immediately he took it as an opportunity, a positive opportunity for attaining Krishna. He took his bow and kept it leaning against the door, which means I am not going to fight anymore. He kept it like that, leaning against the door, and he immediately took the dress of a mendicant. And he took the dress of a mendicant and he went away from there. Of course, he would have gone straight to Dwaraka and met Lord Krishna directly. But he considered himself so unqualified that he felt, I will go to all the Tirtha Sthalas, all the holy places and purify myself before meeting Krishna. So he went to all the holy spots in different places. So Vidura, internally, heart of hearts, was very blissful. Very happy. You may wonder, how can somebody be happy after being so thoroughly insulted? That insult was taken as Lord's mercy by Vidura. So he renounced everything. And he could peacefully, blissfully chant Krishna's names and visit all the holy places and hear nice Krishna Katha subsequently. You see that. So a devotee always sees the result should be Krishna consciousness ultimately. Living with wife, children, family and all these facilities, is it making me Krishna conscious? If yes, one should continue. If not, then one goes to the renounced order. The non-devotees always ask the question to the devotees, why do your people give up everything? Where does God say give up everything? Why don't you have everything in life and be happy? God wants to see you happy. So in this connection, I read Satyavadas Maharaj saying a very powerful sentence. He says, you know, God does say that you have to give up everything. God does want to see you happy. That is why he is telling you to give up everything. He is saying. So here this verse says, Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravana Bandushu. God does say that you have to give up. Otherwise, why this example is cited? In the pages of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is actually meant for pure devotees in any ashram. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, there is no difference at all between anybody in any ashram. In fact, the Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas, the swan class people. In fact, even Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadev Goswami, they both are said to be of the same jati. What is that jati? Paramahamsa jati. Both of them. Parikshit, as a small child, was a pure devotee. Why a small child? Even before that, in the womb of his mother, In fact, his body was already burned by Brahmastra, and the Lord gave him a second body. Now somebody may ask, was the Lord not powerful to protect his body? Lord had the power to protect his body, but the Lord wanted to show that I have a greater power than protecting. What is it? That even after it is burnt, to give another body. I can do that. So Lord gave him a second body. And then this child was watching, who is this person? And then Lord was revolving the mace and going around his womb. And the child was watching. So that is Parikshit, right from his childhood, even as a small child in the womb. And when he came out, he was such a pure devotee. He was playing with Krishna dolls. He was remembering Krishna. He was worshipping Krishna with agarbatti and ghee lamp and everything as a small baby, small child. He grew up in the Pandava family as a descendant of such a pure devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna, who were very close associates of Lord Krishna. And we find also, subsequently when he became a king, he was such a pure devotee, ruling according to the will of the Lord. Everything was perfect. There was nothing wrong anywhere. But still, as I said, the Lord wants to say that one should give up everything of this world. Especially one should give up all the wealth. Why? Because the Lord wants to make us happy by giving up. Let us see how we become happy by giving up everything. People in this world think that you become happy by possessing everything. Isn't it? How can one become happy by giving up everything? So for anyone it can be a great mystery how one becomes happy by giving up everything. In fact, what does possessing everything do? For example, Jesus also says in Bible, it is more difficult to, it is more easy to thread the eye of a needle with an elephant than to send a rich man into the kingdom of God, he says. Why is it so? The reason is, when one has wealth and possessions and relatives and friends and influence over people and prestige in society, when one has all these things, the result of this is one tends to depend on the relatives and friends and society. And one tends to put faith in the bank balance. And one tends to love the material possessions. So our dependence, faith and love is reposed only on material things. And one does not remember Krishna. One tends to forget Krishna. Actually, truly speaking, we should depend on Krishna always. And we should have a firm faith, avashya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna, you will surely protect me. And also, one should love Krishna. You see, just the opposite happens. Like somebody buys a new car. The car occupies the mind. Somebody gets a new bungalow. The bungalow occupies the mind. Now I have got my own bungalow, my own car. Similarly, when one has a designation, position in a company or anything like that, then the designation also consumes our mind. people become so deeply affected by the material things that surround them that their whole mind becomes swallowed and consumed by those material possessions. That's the whole problem. Like one gentleman, one professor in a famous institute, I was telling him, I asked him, what is your age, sir? So he was telling, he was about 54 or something. So I told him, okay, now you have another 6 years to prepare for yourself. Once you become 60, then you can come to Pune, you can join our new temple activities and everything. We need retired people like you and all that I was telling. So he was telling him. So he was a professor in a college. So he was telling me that actually there is no retirement for professors nowadays. He said you can go on working. Then I asked, till what age can you work? He said, till our jaws are working. Till the, even if my hand is broken, leg is broken, they will arrange to take me in a stretcher to the classroom. As long as my mouth is moving, Even till 88 or 90 or 95, I can be, continue to be a teacher, and they're ready to make payment for us. He was telling, there's a demand for teaching. So I said, do you want to work like that till so late? Why don't you take up Krishna consciousness? Then he said, Prabhuji, you don't know, you know, how much value I have in my teaching and in professional circles and companies. And he said, there are so many people in the companies where they give me opportunities for presenting papers, and they have given me such grants, and I published so many papers in the international magazines and everything. I am a fellow of Royal Society, this society. I am a fellow of this society. I am vice chairman of that. I am chairman of this. And I am also an advisor to this and all that. He told me almost 10, 12 items. And he showed me his card, which was having so many titles and designations. And just next to his name, there were almost 8 or 10 degrees. Some of the degrees, you don't know what they are. We generally know PhD. So there is DSc and postdoc, and so many things are there. And I have gone to Pennsylvania State University. I went to Massachusetts. And so he was showing all that. And then he told something interesting. When I said, sir, why don't you come and dedicate your life to this? Yes, he said, if you are telling me that I should do this, I should have done when I was 20 or 25 years old, like all of you. Then I would have been able to catch up with you and Gauranga Prabhu, he said. And then he said, now I am afraid, if I leave these things and come there, will I be able to become as popular as you people? Openly he said. He said, I feel a little ashamed. You guys have memorized so many verses, and you have spoken so many classes, and you have gone way ahead, and you have so many followers, you know, respecting you, saluting you, bowing down to you. When I come, I feel these things, in order to do, it will take too long a time. And now my age, what is my age, what is their age? These guys are smart. They have started at a very early age. So whether I will have enough footing there, enough stability there if I come in the spiritual path. So then he openly said, he's a very intellectual person. That's why he said openly, he said, here in the material circle, I am getting enough designations which satisfy me very much, and I am recognized well. So my mind says that, why don't you stay here only? Why should I go there? Like that he was telling. So this this brings us to a very important lesson. That such kind of material possessions and positions, like, you know, certain things are very, very gross. Like the monkeys living in the forest, for example, in the jungle, their behavior externally and openly portrays our mind. For example, many things we do in our mind, and that is externally picturized by the behavior of the monkeys in the forest. So some time ago, I was hearing a very interesting lecture on the psychology of the monkeys living in the forest. So especially this, which is that monkey, white monkey with a hair, with a black face, you know? Langur, is it? Yeah, I think that's the monkey, which lives in the Himalayan ranges. So these monkeys, I heard, when they are very small, you've seen the small monkeys, they are very, very innocent. And because, you know, they are very young, they are newly born, they are so young, now they got their new tail, so they are very happy. You know, they put the tail in a branch and they jump from one branch to another branch. And they are very friendly with other monkeys. Sometimes they are playing with other monkeys also. Sometimes they help the other monkeys scratch their bodies, or, you know, check any lice on their hair or something. All that they do. And they are always very ecstatic, jumping. From one tree to another tree and everything. They have no anxieties at all. That is a small monkey. But when the small monkeys, when they grow in size, when they become bigger, as soon as they come to the teenage or whatever, as soon as they come to the age when, now it's time for them to get married, when the sex life comes, their ecstasy is finished. From ecstatic, they become static. Why? And then their subsequent behavior becomes completely different. If you see the If you have observed the monkeys, you will find they have their territory. This is my tree, or these are my set of trees, where no other monkey will be allowed. And if any monkey tries to encroach inside the territory of any other monkey, this monkey will try to psychologically control that monkey by showing the teeth and producing certain type of sounds. And they will show the teeth. And they make the sound, screaming sound. So sometimes, even if the sound making monkey is smaller in size and the other monkey is big, the sound is so powerful and his psychological ability to control is so powerful, the other monkey will run away from there. So they threaten the other monkeys, like that. Or sometimes one monkey may try to go and take away the wife of another monkey. And the other monkey again gets on his hands and toes ready to attack him. First he gives out signals by moving his eyebrows, by showing his teeth, displaying his teeth and producing sounds. If that doesn't happen, then he will scratch his body a little bit. And if that also doesn't happen, he will threaten him, I will pull out your eyes, I will pull out your nose, I will tear your body to pieces. And then if the threatening is not sufficient, then they both will get into a fight sometimes. And when this fight goes on, terrible fight goes on, generally the female monkeys, they go to the side and they are standing peacefully. Why? Because for females, they want protection. That's all. So there, the female monkey is waiting. Out of the two, whoever wins, that person will offer her protection. That's all. They are not so much concerned about the egoistic fight. The egoistic fight is only between the male monkeys. Male monkeys are concerned about, what you possess and whom you possess. That is very important for the male monkeys. What you possess, whom you possess, how much you possess, how much power you have, these are very important for the male. And for the female, they are concerned about shelter and protection. Like that. So, in that lecture, Isvanath Radhanath Maharaj was telling that the psychology of the monkeys is very open and external and gross. They don't hide anything, he said. But those kind of psychologies are there in the human mind, he was telling. In the human mind. And what is that psychology? A woman considers her husband to be the hero. Many times women even openly say to the husband, you are my hero, you have to prove yourself in order to please me sufficiently. And proving means what? Women consider a man to be masculine, not only in terms of, begetting children. Their way of considering his heroism is how much money he can produce. How much facilities he can offer. And how he can compete with the people in the material world and try to dominate the society and climb up the ladder of success. So these are the ways a woman calculates the success of a man. So a man has to constantly struggle to impress the woman in this world of competition. And because of that, a man may increase his material life, expand the facilities more and more and more. There is no end to impressing other people in this world. The more we try to impress, the more the struggle. And not only the struggle, the more one's absorption in the material possessions and positions. For example, you can see, parents also, if you see, they want the child that now you are getting 20th rank in the class, at least get 10th rank. The boy gets 10th rank. Now what will they say next? Now you should get first rank now. Now you are improving. Now we will keep tuition for you, we will get notes for you, we will get a computer for you. Many parents say, we will give you a calculator or a computer. Or some fathers say, if you get first rank, I'll give you a car also. And then after he gets first rank, the story doesn't end there. Then now you have to get into IIT. Or if you get into IIT, now you have to go to America. And you have to go for a bigger job. Not only bigger job, then bigger position. Even if you join Microsoft company, then even after joining Microsoft, they will not be happy. They will say, no, you have to become like Bill Gates now. You have to become CEO of Microsoft. So, there is no end in this world to impressing the people, to satisfying the people. I am just giving an example. So the positions and possessions, wealth, power, skills, all these things which you are trying to accumulate in this world, there is no end to them. And from on a material platform, people are always going to keep on giving us boost. Go on, try more, work hard, work hard. That goes on like that. At the same time, one becomes completely forgetful of God by getting into this world of competition, material realm. And life is like, every day is like firefighting, morning to night. People are just running here and there, accumulating possessions. And as I told you before, they put faith in the bank balance. They love the material possessions. We can see that any new object you buy a new computer, new car, new bungalow, don't we get attachment? So we love material possessions and we forget Krishna. Actually, we have to love Krishna and not worry about material things. That's the ideal standard for the living entity. Material things will automatically be provided. Just see, these material possessions are made up of Panchamahabhut, earth, water, fire. It's all simply made up of this kind of material elements, you know, which we grab on to, hold on to, and we forget Krishna. That is why those who hold on to the material world and forget Krishna are the greatest fools. On the other hand, one who grabs on to Krishna, even if he doesn't have enough material things of the world, still he is very safe because he is grabbing to the right thing. He is holding. That's why in Bhagavad Gita there is a verse which says, Grihitva, what is that? Asadgrahat? Grihitva api asadgrahat. Mohat grihitva asadgrahat, Krishna says. Mohat means by illusion. Mohat grihitva means to grasp. Asat grahat, useless things of this world. One is grasping onto, one develops attachment. One should not give heart to the material things of the world. Although one can perform one's duty to the mother and father and wife, children, family, but in the name of performing duty, one should not develop attachment to the material objects of the world, because such attachment actually will pin us down in the cycle of birth and death. We will never be able to return back to Krishna. Just like there are two roads. One road, there is a board put up. Recognition, reward, you know, high position, power, everything. So that road is a road which is full of heavy traffic. There are scooters, there are cars, there are buses, there are trucks, there are lorries. Everything is going and people are honking, kang, 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 there. Because everyone wants to get ahead. And there are also people cutting the traffic and trying to get ahead of you. Sometimes you've seen somebody, you know, tailgating. Tailgating means, you know, one car is going fast and other fellow is going like this. And then he cuts the line and he gets ahead of him also. In between, little gap is there, he sneaks in. And this fellow starts frowning at him. And he wants to, or he gets out of the car and he throws tantrums on him. You see all that. So this is the road with recognition and reward, position, limelight, power. That road is full of heavy traffic. But then if you go in the road of heavy traffic, if you get ahead, and then there are barricades. Sometimes there are barricades, police saying this road is blocked, you go that side, then you go there. And here also there is barricade blocked, that side you go. And again you find yourself in the same place where we started. We go round and round and we come back. Because material life means we come back to the cycle of birth and death. We go high, 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 again we come back again. And the other road is a Kali road. There is a board put up, servant of the servant. Not many want to go there. What are the qualifications of being servant of the servant? You will be in the background. You will not be in the limelight. And you will do some menial service. And you will be... You will not aspire for dhanam, janam, sundarim. And what will I get here? Krishna prema? No, I don't want. Go away. So that eternal result of Krishna prema is not wanted by the living entities, because they want immediate recognition, reward, power, position. The material things of the world. They are very glamorous. They are glittering illusion. It's very attractive and everyone goes for it. So, That's why in the hearts of people, often there is a notion that taking the spiritual life means it's failure. In India, people have a notion like that. If you see an average Indian, they think, if they come to know that somebody has gone to spiritual life, they will say, why? What happened to that fellow? Huh? You know, many people ask, you've seen that? Huh? Oh, what happened? You know, maybe there was some frustration. Maybe they faced some failure, maybe some business loss. Or maybe, you know, mother and father didn't give love or something. And or some people say that, you know, maybe, you know, he could not get his girlfriend or something in marriage, so she became brahmachari or sannyasi. Or some people think, you know, he lost some big money. Whatever. Many people consider that if somebody has become serious in spiritual life, that means, you know, something went wrong. They think like that. And they, in fact, if you find those who become renunciates, they are the most courageous people who are ready to venture into the challenges of the inner world, to face in a head-on collision with lust, greed, pride, envy, and such kind of terrible enemies, without any fear. They are taking up the sword of challenge in the hands, and they are going and attacking all these enemies, while the whole world is flowing in the downward direction, towards the gutter. So devotees are flowing in the opposite direction, towards Krishna. And it requires a lot of courage while living in... In fact, many people want to be validated by the society around. So they say, I don't want to become a serious devotee. Why? Because, you know, then my friends will joke at me. Then what will my colleagues think about me if I wear tilak or if I wear kantimala and if I chant Hare Krishna? It's better for me to be one amongst the public and flow with the wind. Although they are apparently flowing with everyone, they will glide down to hell along with them. But those who are devotees, who are ready to stand against the opposing forces of a religion all around, and follow the path of Krishna, and give up the attraction and attachment for the material things, and develop attraction and attachment to Krishna, they may not be validated in the eyes of the society in the beginning, but as they proceed higher and higher and higher, by taking firm shelter of Krishna, they will attain a very elevated state where they get the true happiness. That's why they take the road of the servant of the servant road. So, acharyas like Prabhupada very mercifully have showed how spiritual life, Prabhupada says, spiritual life is not for, you know, wretched people. One place Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is for the most intelligent people, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures. So, in fact, the most intelligent people, the most talented people like George Harrison, or most rich people like Ford, such people have dedicated their lives for becoming Krishna conscious. So, here we find the number one man in the whole world is taking to Krishna consciousness, renouncing everything of his position and everything. Why? Because he knew very well that the nature of the material possessions is that they make us develop a very deep attachment for them. They occupy our mind and they don't let us be in peace. They tie us down. You can ask anybody in a family, you know, how much their mind is occupied by their child, if they have a child. You can ask them. How much their mind is occupied by the anxieties of maintenance of the house, kutumba bharan. And they will, any honest person will tell you. Like if somebody is a man, leader of the home, he certainly has the anxiety about maintenance of home and everything. Similarly, the mother's mind is occupied by insecurities and fears that I should not lose the child, or my child should not face failure, my husband should not face failure. There are tremendous insecurities. Material world is a place of uncertainties and unpredictable events that happen anytime, any place. So because of that, material life is a life of anxiety. And if you have to go above this platform of anxiety, one has to take shelter of Abhay Charan Aravindare. That is why that song Govinda Das says, Bhaja Hure Mana ಶ್ರೀನಂದನಂದನ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದರೇ. ಸೊ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕ್ಲಾರಿಫೈಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಸಿ ಲೇಟರ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ಯಾರಾಫರ್ನೆಲಿಯಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋ ಪೂವರ್ಲಿ ಟುಗೆದರ್. ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ಕಥಂ ಪ್ರಿಯಾಯ ಅನುಕಂಪಿತಾಯ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸೀರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ವ್ಯಾರ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಡೀಪ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ವೈಫ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ಸ್ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶಿ ಗಿವ್ ಸಾಲಿಟರಿ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೈವೇಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಅ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಜುವಲಿ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡೀಪ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ವೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಕ್ಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಪ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಸೆಕ್ಯೂರ್ ಪ್ರಿಸನರ್ ಅಟ್ ಹೋಮ್. ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಫರ್ನಿಚರ್ ದಟ್ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅಟ್ ಹೋಮ್. ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಬಂಗ್ಲೋ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್. ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಟು ದ ಅನಿಮಲ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ ಕೌಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೌಸ್. ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದಮ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೌ ಡು ಯು ನೋ ದೇವ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಅವೇ ಒನ್ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್ ಟು ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಫರ್ಮ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಸೇಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೇಸ್ ಎ ಫಾದರ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಅ ಡೀಪ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಡಾಟರ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಫಾದರ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ. ಲೈಕ್ ವಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಸ್ವಯಂಭ ಮನು ಇಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಮ್ಯಾರೇಜ್ ಟು ಕರ್ದಮ ಮುನಿ ವೆನ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಫೈನಲೈಸ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಸ್ವಯಂಭ ಮನು ಬ್ರೇಕ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್ ಟು ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್. ಈಸ್ ವೀಪಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್. ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಬೆ 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 ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಮದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್. ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಓನ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಆಸ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಮದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಟು ಹಿಸ್ ಚೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಾಬಿಂಗ್ ಯು ನೋ ಬೇದಿಂಗ್ ಹರ್ ವಿತ್ ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಲವ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಅ ಫಾದರ್ ವರೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ಟಿಲ್ ನೌ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಕಾನ್ಫಿಡೆಂಟ್ ಬಟ್ ನೌ ಮೈ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇಸ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಟು ಯರ್ ಬಾಯ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅನದರ್ ಹೋಮ್ ವಿಲ್ ದೇ ಆಫರ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಲವ್ ಟು ಹರ್ ಲವ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ದೇ ಆಫರ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಟೈಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೆಕ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಷನ್ ವಿಲ್ ದೇ ನಾಟ್ ಹರ್ಟ್ ಮೈ ಡಾಟರ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹೀ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಫರ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಬಟ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಲೋಡ್ ಟು ಬೈ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ನೇಚರ್. ಸೊ ದೋಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡಾಟರ್ಸ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್. ಲೈಕ್ ಐ ಸಾ ಮೈ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟರ್ ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಐ ಸಾ ಮೈ ಫಾದರ್ ಹೌ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸಾಬಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರೂವ್ಡ್. ಅಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಟು ಸನ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಸೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಆಫರ್ಸ್ ಹರ್ ಸೆಕ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಷನ್. ಶಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಫಿಡೆನ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಸೀಸ್ ಅ ಹೇಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೆಲ್ದಿ ಯಂಗ್ ಬಾಯ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್. ಮದರ್ ಫೀಲ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಜಾಯ್ ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಸೀಸ್ ದ ಸನ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ದ ಪ್ಯಾರೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟೇ ಸಪ್ರೇಟ್ಲಿ ಅವೇ, ಮೈ ಮದರ್ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ಸ್ ಡೌನ್ ಟು ಟಿಯರ್ಸ್. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಜನರಲಿ ಆಸ್ ಸೂನ್ ಆಸ್ ದ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಕಾಂಪಿಟಿಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ. ದ ಮದರ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಹರ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ನ್ಯೂಲಿ ವೆಡೆಡ್ ವೈಫ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಹರ್ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಯು ನೋ ಇನ್ ಹರ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್. ಸೊ ಯ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಯ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಪುಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟೂ ಸೈಡ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮದರ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೈಫ್ ಸೈಡ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಯ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆಂಟ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಪುಟ್ಸ್ ಹರ್ ಮದರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಇನ್ ಹರ್ ಪಾಕೆಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಸೂನ್ ಆಸ್ ಶಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಮದರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾಸ್ ಹೋಮ್. ಆರ್ ರಾದರ್ ರಾದರ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆಂಟ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಶುಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಹರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾಸ್ ಪಾಕೆಟ್. ಶಿ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಹರ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಟಿ. ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಇಫ್ ಮದರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಇನ್ ಗುಡ್ ಯುನೋ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ದೆನ್ ದ ಸನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್. ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ದ ಸನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಮೃದಂಗಮ್ ಡುಮಟಕ ಡುಮಟಕ ಬೋತ್ ಬೋತ್ ಸೈಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಬೀಟನ್ ಅಪ್ ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಬಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ. ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ವೆರಿ ಡೀಪ್ ರೂಟೆಡ್ ಬಾಂಡ್ಸ್. ವಿರೂಢಾಂ ಮಮತಾಂ ಜಹೌ ದ ಮಮತಾಂ ದ ಮದರ್ ಟೆಲ್ಸ್ ಮೈ ಸನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವೈಫ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಮೈ ಹಸ್ಬೆಂಡ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಸಿ ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ನಾವ್ ಯು ಟೆಲ್ ಮೀ ಇಫ್ ದೇ ಬೋತ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಫೈಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ದ ಸನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ರನ್ ಔಟ್ ಸೈಡ್ ದ ಹೌಸ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ವೈ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಹೋಮ್ ಒನ್ ಡೆವಲಪ್ಸ್ ಮಲ್ಟಿಪಲ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಓವರ್ ಎ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದೋಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ಲಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಂಘ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಟರ್ಮ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್. ಲೈಕ್ ಕಾರಣಂ ಗುಣಸಂಗೋಸ್ಯ ಸದಸದ್ಯೋನಿ ಜನ್ಮಸು. ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಡೂ ಸಂಘ ವಿತ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಟ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕ್ಯಾಚಸ್ ವಿ ಅಬ್ಸಾರ್ಬ್ ಇಟ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಯು ಡೂ you associate with kasturi, then your body is fragrant. Huh? Anything you associate with, we capture that quality also. Associate with good people, sajjana sangha, durjana sangha, it affects us. Similarly, associating with these items in the home, the problem is what? If the home is a materialistic home, then one's material hankerings are increased. Yesterday evening I was speaking in one house. What do you want? Do you want Trishna or Krishna? How I got this word? From Bhagavatam only. One verse, Bhishma Pitama says, Vitrishna, he says. If you get Krishna, you will become Vitrishna. But if you don't get Krishna, what you will get? Trishna only, hankering. How? That hankering is supplied by wife, children, family members and other people like that. Because that's how their psychology is created. For example, if a boy is very lazy and not going, taking up any job, simply eating and sleeping, what should we do? Get him married. Yeah. Because if you get him married, three people will take care that he works hard. Mother, sister and wife. And all three are women. Because woman will make sure that the man works. Don't think that woman will take a stick and beat him up. No. The woman have their techniques, which are more powerful than beating with the cricket bat also. Yeah. Yeah. That even only a man will know. Their techniques are so subtle, they will give such subtle signals and such powerful behavior. Man will run from pillar to post. Somehow you will get a job in 2 days, you will get. You work very hard, yeah. So, there is in material life, the woman's minds are constantly tormented with more and more wants because they always compare with other women. The neighbor's woman, my husband has a bicycle, she has a scooter, her husband. Okay, now, we also have got a scooter, they got a car. No, we need a car also. We have Maruti and they have Benz. So we also need a Benz. We have a 2 BHK and they have 3 BHK. Now we have to go to a 3 BHK also. So there is a comparison and envy and competition in the minds of insecure family members, which is reposed on the man. Man becomes the victim. Although he thinks I am the victor, he is not the victor, he is the victim. He thinks I am running the house. So he becomes a victim and then he has to prove to her, I am no less. Just wait and see. I will show my chamatkar. Now I will go out. I got a foreign chance. Now I am getting more money from here. I will take this loan, that loan. And then he may take big, big loans and although he doesn't have the paying ability, even his credit card is maxed out, still he will buy a costly car to show to his wife that I am not a small man. In this way, the family life can lead to more and more bondage if it is totally material. But then Prabhupada says here, subsequently, one attachment is the path of darkness. Tamodvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Such a family life takes one to hell because one forgets Krishna. And the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhishthir and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, must give up all material connections before we can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So here, Prabhupada gives another example of Yudhishthira Maharaja. He says that if somebody has a family like Yudhishthira Maharaj, it is completely a spiritual family. Draupadi was a very great devotee of Krishna also. And even the Pandavas, they were great devotees. In fact, when Pandavas approached Draupadi, not knowing what to do when Durvasa Muni was coming, it was Draupadi who suggested, what is the problem? We will just call Krishna. And she immediately offered a prayer to Krishna and Krishna appeared there. So, if a wife, children and the family members, they are all Krishna conscious, as the Pandava family was. Then Prabhupada says, then the family becomes, it leads one to the path of light. Then one's home becomes like Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Grihete Goloka Bhai. When I come in the evening from my office, he was a high court magistrate. When he would return in the evening, all his children would be playing Mridangam Kartal, doing bhajan in front of the deities at home. He says, when I return home, I feel so joyful. My whole home has turned into Goloka Vrindavan, he says. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a grihastha with 10 children. Can you imagine? Maintaining 10 children. Is it not a bondage? Absolutely not. It was not bondage for him. Because if you see the way he lived his life, morning 9:55 he would leave for his office as a magistrate. Coach will come to take him. 5 minutes he will reach the office. 10 o'clock he will start his magistrate work. Between 10 to 1 and 2 to 5, how many hours? 6 hours. He would finish about 40 to 50 cases. He would complete in a day. Generally, for the other lawyers, you know, one case would take 1.5 hours for them. But for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know what he used to do? Whenever somebody would come to present a case, he would read their case in advance only. And when they begin speaking, he would tell them, wait a minute. He will ask a question to them. One vital question, the vital nerve of the problem, he will ask that question. And when they answer the question, only 5 minutes they were allowed to speak, that's all. After 5 minutes, he will make a judgment in the next 2 minutes. So one case would take him 7 to 7.5 minutes. In 1 hour, how many you finish? In 1 hour? Yeah, 8. In 6 hours? Yeah, that is how in a day he would finish 40 to 50 cases. While the other lawyers would take about 1.5 hours to hear a case. While hearing also, there will be a lot of tug of war, shouting and yelling and everything. So he was so smart in doing his job. You know, he never entertained any humbugs. He would just hear the case, give the judgment, and he would push off. That's all. He would speak very little. And the decision was powerful. Nobody could raise a voice or a question. Such kind of things he would do. And when he would go home at 1 o'clock, you know, he would rest for a while and then fresh up and do the duties at home. Then 2 o'clock he would go, 2 to 5. Then 5 o'clock he would return, when he would return in the evening. Evening he was translating some of the Bengali literature into Sanskrit, some of the Sanskrit into Bengali. He was making those translations in the evening. He would do some of the household activities in the evening. And he would go to bed by about 7:30 to 8 in that range. He would go to bed and get up at 10 o'clock at night. How many hours? Almost 2.5 hours only. Between 10 to morning 4 a.m. he would do writing. 6 hours continuously in the night. And morning 4 a.m. to 4:30 he would take rest. And 4:30 he would get up, fresh up, and he would chant Hare Krishna till 7. And 7 o'clock he would, I think 7 o'clock, 7:30, 7 to 7:30 he had corresponded, like replying the mails and all that. 7:30 to 8:30 he would meet the people. 7:30 to 8:30, what he was doing, anybody knows? 1 hour, he would be reading, correct. He would be reading books. 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, he would be reading books for his own development. He would read books. And 8:30 onwards, he would come out and he would be pacing, walking and contemplating. Sometimes he would even ask questions loudly and, you know, contemplate and speak to himself and think about things. And if any visitors have to meet him, he would sit with them and meet and talk to them till 8:30 or so. 7:30, 8:30, and then 8:30, 9:30 after that. So 9:30 to 9:45, 15 minutes rest he will take. That's all. And then 9:45, you know, he would take some light breakfast, you know, half a glass milk and 2 chapatis and sabji. 9:55 he will leave for the office. And then this job. This was a schedule every day, you can imagine. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he was a family man. He certainly must have been a happy family man. Otherwise, how did he get a child like Bhaktisan Saraswati Thakur, the fifth son? 10 children were born. And all the children were happy and satisfied. He could keep the home very happy and Krishna conscious. And there are so many things, valuable things he did. He produced 100 books he wrote. Most of them are already published and some of them are still being published. About 100 books. So Prabhupada is admiring in one of his lectures. Just see, he was a family man with 10 children. He could write 100 books. And he, along with that, he was preaching so vigorously. You know, he was also taking care of the Jagannath Puri temple at one time upon the request of the British government and making policies and rules for running the temple. In fact, he took very severe action on people like Vishak Sen who are cheaters. And he was also a high court magistrate. He was an advisor to so many people. So, in this way, if a grihastha can be very advanced in Krishna consciousness, then for such a person, actually home is not an unfavorable place. Because there is no difference whether he took sannyas or whether he is at home. So Prabhupada used to say, if a man has a beautiful wife who is also submissive, and at the same time, if a man is very enthusiastic about God and studying scriptures and practicing Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada used to say he is better than a brahmachari and a sannyasi. Prabhupada would say. So, that's why he is writing about Yudhishthira Maharaj here. He was like that. He had Draupadi, he was a king of the whole world, but it hardly made any difference to him. Because he was a pure devotee. And then Prabhupada is saying, in other words, one who has seriously heard Bhagavatam even for one day, like Maharaj Parishit, from a fit personality, like Shudha Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. Now, Parishit Maharaj was a pure devotee. There was no fault on his part at all to be cursed by the Brahmana boy, to be beaten by the serpent. So, it was Lord's arrangement that Parishit Maharaj should give up everything and sit and hear Bhagavatam for 7 days. It was Lord's desire. But Parishit Maharaj was such a noble soul that he took it in this spirit. He said, because I am very attached to my family and kingdom, the Supreme Lord, out of his causeless mercy, has stripped me of all this wealth and possessions so that I can wholeheartedly, in a one-pointed way, concentrate my mind on him. With this desire, the Lord has taken me away from all these responsibilities. So very willingly, voluntarily, happily, Parishit Maharaj renounced all these things. And then he went to the banks of the Ganges, sitting there to hear the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. So, like you all know the story of Kailash. In Kailash story, we often tell that story to show how a man always postpones spiritual life. One should not postpone spiritual life, otherwise one will be taking cycle of birth and death again and again. At the same time, one should know that a man has to perform his duties to family. But often, you don't have to even tell people in India that you have to perform duty to family. They anyway perform the duties very well, quite well, more than you know what the gurus and sadhus may advise them. People do the duties well. Only thing is, they are expert in forgetting God. Like in India, you ask anyone, what do you think is your duty? Average Indian father and mother will say that to get the daughters married, to raise the son with good education, make him an engineer or a doctor or a chartered accountant, make him like that, send the son abroad, you know, and then see that the son and daughter have their proper house, bungalow, and my assets, I should divide them properly and give them without any quarrel amongst children. When all this is done, then the parents think my duty is over. This is what many parents think in India. Actually, Shastras say, Guru na sasyat, Sajuno na sasyat, Pita na sasyat. That verse says that a father or mother cannot call themselves mother or father if they cannot deliver their dependents from the cycle of birth and death and send them back to Godhead. The main duty of the parents is to give children the spiritual sanskars. Teach them about Krishna, give them Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the parents' material duty, that even the birds and beasts are doing it. Like you can see, a lion teaches the cub how to catch the prey. You've seen that? Sometimes a father lion and a son lion are running together. And the father lion will not pounce on the deer. He will tell the son lion, hey, you catch today. Let us see how you catch. Sometimes the son lion hits the deer, but the deer runs away. And the father will say, just see, you are not so smart. And he'll take. So a father trains the son, even if you see the animal kingdom. Similarly, a father may take his son to his business enterprise and tell the son, my dear son, now today you sit, you deal with all the telephones today, let me see how you do. Many parents feel that I am a great soul. I am making my son a very good heir next to me. It's not a great thing. Or the mother showing love to the babies, children. Even the dogs show love for their small kids also. You will see that. Birds are bringing the food from the morning to evening and giving it to their children also. So giving food, giving clothing, giving shelter, giving material education, it's not a very big deal. All animals, birds, everyone does it. So we are not going to get any special credit for that. The real credit is Krishna consciousness. Because the parents should know, I will be dead and gone. But my children, they should become Krishna conscious. In fact, once I heard in Bombay, one of the seminars, they were saying, the greatest duty of mother and father is to see that the deities which are at home, which they are worshipping now, should be worshipped by their children after they are dead and gone. That is the main duty. Of course, worshipping the deity doesn't mean a ritual worship of, rotating the agarbati. Worshipping the deity means keeping a Krishna conscious atmosphere at home so that the deity becomes the real proprietor of home. That is the real home. So, Parikshit Maharaj being a pure devotee of the Lord, Sukadeva Goswami being a pure devotee also. So the Lord wanted to arrange for this wonderful conversation between two pure devotees so that the whole world will benefit. So keeping that in mind, the Lord arranged this situation which we are reading today. The most difficult thing, Virudham, those things which cause deep attachment in one's heart, Parikshit Maharaj left them all out of intense love for Krishna. At appropriate time, he left and he took shelter of the Lord. In this way, subsequently you will see sections, what kind of brilliant questions that Parikshit is asking. It is said that he did it out of the love for the Lord. It's very natural for Parikshit to have love for Krishna, because it was Krishna who protected him and gave him a second body. It was Krishna who protected his forefathers like Yudhishthira, Arjuna and all of them and led them in the battle of Kurukshetra. So his whole family was completely protected by the warmth of Krishna's personal touch. So why will he not have love for Krishna? Very naturally he had love for Krishna. And for him, dedicating his life to Krishna was very spontaneous and natural. And for us, it's a very good example that we should not be attached to the material possessions and power and all these things even in the name of spiritual life. Because the Yukta Vairagya principle can be followed only by those who are under the firm shelter of the Acharyas and guided by the Acharyas, like Arjuna or like Hanuman. Prabhupada gives those two examples. They were under the proper custody of Lord himself. Otherwise, one may accept the material positions, even in spiritual circles, and get complacent. Because the nature of material things is to make us complacent. That is why Parikshit Maharaj left it. There is a tendency that is inherent in the material objects of this world that they make us little slack in our fervent devotion to Krishna. For example, if I don't have any relatives, if I don't have any money, if I don't have any possessions, then for anything and everything I have to run to Krishna only. With one last small pastime I would like to conclude. One day, Draupadi, this incident happened much later. After the Pandavas conquered the Kauravas and then they became kings of the world, one day Krishna had come to meet them in the palace. So when they were having a casual talk, suddenly Draupadi raised a question. She said, my dear Krishna, why did all this big drama happen? That we had to go to forest for 12 years and all these things happened. But I always had a question. You claim to be the protector of your devotees, but what kind of protector are you? You put me in the Sabha of the Kauravas and they were disrobing me by pulling my sari. You never came to help. And Krishna said, who said, I came to help you. And she said, no, you didn't come to help so easily. And she said, it took you a long time to come, probably you were far away, you know, too far away to come. Krishna said, no, think yourself very nicely, Draupadi. Krishna said, you know, when Kauravas called you to the middle of the court, when they were about to disrobe you, the first people you looked at were your own husbands, the five mighty husbands, five Pandavas, who were all Chaivalras husbands. And they were all putting their head down. And you found that they are not going to be of any help to you. Then you turned to the Kshatriyas, like Bhishma Pitama, the most eldest personality. And you were sure and confident that in his presence no wrong thing can happen. So you naturally turned to him. And he was also bowing his head down. Then you turned to Vidura. And then you turn to the Brahmana, who is that? Dronacharya. Because Brahmana should know justice. So you looked at him. And then you were begging for proper justice from all those people. And you were holding on to your sari and trying to... when all those people were not ready to protect you were yourself trying to protect yourself. By holding your sari yourself or to your teeth. And then when everything else failed or all else failed, then you took my shelter. And at that time I came, Krishna said. Because at that time you totally depended on me. You prayed for me. Then I immediately came, Krishna said. Then Draupadi understood. In the same manner, in our life, as long as we have alternative shelters other than Krishna, then we repose our faith in those things. In those things. As the bank balance, putting faith in bank balance or loving the material positions. Why Brahmachari Sannyasis, they renounce these things? Why it is not good for us to use very costly cars? Because we can become proud, we can become attached. Yeah, it is very dangerous. Similarly, you know, if why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing to associate with Pratap Rudra? Because he said, those who are closely associating with women and money, he said, I cannot associate, I have to keep distance. It's very dangerous, he said. For one in the renounced order. Because renounced order means nadanam, najanam, nasundari. And one can keep the purity. What is the purity? The purity is utter shelter and dependence on Krishna. Utter dependence on Krishna. That is possible because we have no other shelter. We are beggars. And Lord is our only protector, maintainer. That kind of consciousness should be there. It is not an external thing. That we bow down before the deities, we dance for the deities as a ritual. One has to feel that shelter in the heart, and that shelter will be felt when one renounces. That's why Parikshit Maharaj is externally also renouncing. For a grihastha devotee, the renunciation should be in the heart. Externally they can have everything. But here we find Parikshit is externally also renouncing at a certain point of time in order to make sure that he takes complete shelter of Krishna. So that he can hear the Bhagavad Katha with full consciousness, not with a semi-surrendered consciousness. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki.